Welcome to Sheffield's Table, WHCRDB, live on Monday mornings and then thereafter in our archives. Here's on Rewind a couple of times a week, so we get together on Mondays. Last week was great. We had Mark from Metropolitan Seafood. Next Monday, we will not be live. The office here will be closed for the holidays, so we'll be on Rewind. And the 16th of September, Janet Madalena from Madalena's Cheesecake will be here as our guest. Known Janet for years. We've always used their bakery products at the restaurant at Jake's. We're on the chef. And it'd be nice to get her on and see how the her business has survived over the years, not only survived, but flourished. And she's been on a couple of Food Channel clips, and so it'll be fun. In October, Dream Dinners, local establishment, will be on, and hopefully Ryan Reap from Chick-fil-A. We'll get a couple of people up here coming up, so trying to line up some of the local businesses here that are food-related or producers. And in fact, if you know anybody in the area that would like to appear as a guest, contact the chamber office here, and we'd be glad to have you on. If you have a story to tell, you're in the business, or maybe even a serious practitioner or something, you know, maybe you're a barbecue, maybe you're a baker. I always like to hear different people's stories. Labor Day, last food celebration of the summer coming up this weekend. I remember when I was up in the resorts, it would be some of the really seasonal ones would close down after Labor Day. I know the first one I worked in, there was no, the building wasn't winterized, which would literally shut the whole resort down. And so Labor Day was our last meal service and last, you know, guests would all check out the next day, and then we would go into getting stuff packed away for the winter. And I remember we used to do a merry-go-round buffet. Of course, we're trying to run all the food supplies down because we weren't going to use them for another 10 months or 9 months. So it was kind of fun because depending on when you showed up, you could have, we'd make a pan of this, a pan of that, roast something, just kind of rotate things through. So it was kind of fun. And as, you know, if you've been cooking outside all summer or picnicking, hopefully enjoyed your vacations, but now it's back to reality. And, of course, our last cookout, if you will, or gathering, picnic, it's Labor Day. We honor, of course, all workers, but maybe we don't want to work so hard. Or maybe we do. I don't know. I always think I'm going to do something simple, and then you say, well, we can always do this, we can add this, and then it ends up being, I won't say complicated, but a little more involved than we initially planned. It's tough when you like to cook. You know, it's that thing in your blood, right, in your genes. You've got to feed your people. Of course, state fairs are going, New York State Fair, of course, where I'm from, upstate New York, Syracuse area. The state fair winds up on Labor Day at the end of it. And I got, you know, thinking about state fair food. Now, you see even on shows and a lot of things at state fairs, I think people are trying to outdo each other on how many different things you can throw in a deep fryer. But after all, when you think of it, when you're trying to feed a lot of people quickly, there's really, unless you have something prepared already, there's probably no quicker way to get something heated up than to fry it. But we're not really not going to do that this Monday. I'm not going to feed my guest fried food, but I think of some of the grilled foods, and of course sausages always come to mind. I know in the summer you maybe had your fill of hamburgers already, or maybe you've done some barbecue, chicken in all its forms. But sausages are a nice way to go, and you can always make, with the end of the summer bounty now, there's some nice vegetable dishes that you could have alongside of it. you know, the harvest. I mean, everything's in, and of course, people are probably wondering what to do with their all the eggplant and zucchini. You know, tomatoes are relatively easy. A lot of people can them or make some sauce, but a couple of the other vegetables, you know, we've got to use them up. And we'll talk about that, about maybe making things that could be put aside or frozen. But sausages, homemade is nice if you have the patience and the skill, the equipment. You have a grinder and a sausage stuffer and the casings you have to get. But fortunately, there's many good ones out there. And I mean, not just national brands. They're always there. But the best thing to do is seek out a local butcher, somebody that's making them. Or if you have a favorite place where you're originally from, most companies will ship now, and you can get that product that lies in your memories there. I know sometimes hot dogs are very regional, and people will order hot dogs from across the country because they want the ones they grew up with, the local whoever the local producer was. And sausages are kind of like that. I know we're coming into Oktoberfest next month, which would be, you know, the German sausages. But for right now, you know, for me, the quintessential state fair food is Italian sausage and peppers. Whether you're eating it on a roll or on pasta or with some potatoes, it's all good. Just love that aroma of the grilling sauce, grilling the sausages, and then, of course, all the peppers and onions, everything that goes with it. So today I'm thinking of course, the end of the summer vegetable fest. Of course, a dish I always like to do in the summer, I'm going to run it this week, is the ratatouille from the south of France. They're all that nice vegetable. People call it a vegetable stew. I'd prefer to call it a braise. It's not just eggplant and tomatoes dumped into a pot. It's many vegetables, and I like to cut them in small pieces so they cook a little bit quicker, and they'll retain their identity a little bit instead of having to stew it for a long time. And there's a grilled version, too. People do a grilled ratatouille, and it's kind of like on our catering menu now for years. Instead of a crudité platter, the raw vegetables, we've always offered the grilled vegetables. And so we'll have the eggplant, the zucchini, peppers, onions, maybe some scallions, asparagus, portobello mushrooms. And we grill them and then cut them up and dress them while they're still warm. And the only thing we don't have on there is tomatoes. In the case of a ratatouille, if you're going to make a grilled one, you could grill or roast some tomatoes to kind of bring everything together. And, of course, I'll say it's similar, in the same ballpark, that I like to do with eggplant is caponata, Italian eggplant relish. Used to make it in years ago, again, when we had like an antipasto. And a lot of places, they just give you some salami and some cheese and some olives and maybe some canned artichokes. And that's okay. But we used to make the caponata, which is an eggplant relish, served chilled, although I have warmed it up and adapted it to a pasta dish. So that, and again, it's a good way to, if you have a lot of eggplant, you can kind of preserve it. You could make the caponata and freeze it. If you're really into the canning thing, of course, you could hot pack it in the jars, sterilized jars, and preserve it that way. But with the availability, I mean, right now, of course, the vegetables are real nice, but the with the availability, we used to make it all the time. We would have a caponata, we'd have a tuna and white bean salad, just some different things for antipasti rather than just the proteins, trying to put some vegetables and other things on the plate. So the with the ratatouille. So we'll go on to that first. Oh, another thing I found too: the end of this called end of the summer pizza. Of course, pizza is everywhere now, and people are grilling them. If you have the crust ready, you can always use your gas grill like an oven, and bake it. This one gets done in a pan. It kind of reminds me of a grandma's pizza. I found it from Amy's Bread in New York City. She has five bakeries, and found a little nice quick pizza dough also. So we got some ground to cover today. For our protein, again, sausages would be a good choice, and I'm thinking with the ratatouille, I'd almost like to go with lamb. We're going to serve it with steak. It's good for strong flavors. I've done it with seared tuna, with swordfish, good meaty fish. But instead of steak, if you've had your fill of beef this summer, maybe you've had a lot of steak or, you know, done some barbecue brisket or a lot of burgers. And the sausage is kind of nice because it doesn't take that long to cook. And you can usually buy good ones. You can get your raw sausages, which you need to make sure you cook those slowly. Don't burn the outside too quickly. And some people poach them first or bake them first, which is okay. But if you do it on the grill, low heat, and make sure your product is cooked, and you can always brown it at the end. So I was thinking lamb sausage or a grilled leg of lamb if you really want to go for it. The grilled butterfly leg of lamb, and you could get you could use as much or as little as you need for your group. You could buy a smaller one, say an Australian or New Zealand lamb leg, or the domestic ones are a little bit larger. But you have if you have your boneless leg roast that's all tied up, you simply have to untie it, and you'll see the meat is all kinds of different thicknesses. Now, I kind of like that part because that way you can get some rare, some medium, some well done. If you want it all a little more even cooking, of course, you could butterfly some of the thicker part, open it up so it kind of lays like you're opening an envelope or a book. Or you could take a meat mallet and pound it out. And the thing with this is you want to take a lot of the fat off. You need enough to hold it together, the boned leg, but some of the surface fat, that prevents some flare-up. You can always brush it with oil to keep it moist. But grilled leg of lamb would be, for me it would be the nice treat to have. Or, you know, lamb skewers, kebabs. The lamb and the ratatouille work very well. So we're going to was thinking of the merguez, the lamb sausage, a little spicy, and you can buy it, but we kind of figured out a little formula here to use ground lamb, an 80-20 ground lamb. It's not as fatty. I've made these before. You don't need to put them in casings. You could make patties. You can make little cigar shapes or put them on skewers like a kefta, anythings. So when we come back, we've got a couple of messages here, and we will we'll make our lamb sausage, we'll make our ratatouille, our caponata, and see what else we can do with this end of the summer bounty. Chef Bill's Table.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Hello, this is Nicole Smith, host of Happy to Help. Would you like to discover the secret to happiness? I talk to volunteers, executive directors, fundraisers, and authors about how nonprofit engagement enriches their lives. We thrive when we have a sense of purpose in our lives. Philanthropy is the new community. Tune in to Happy to Help every Wednesday at 10 a.m. to discover how to find your purpose and live well by doing good.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908 384-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
To Sheffield's Table here at WHCRDB, talking about some lamb sausage, or I wouldn't call these meatballs. Meatballs usually need a little bit more filler in them, keep them nice and tender. This would be more like little patties, little lamb burgers, if you will. Although normally for making a sausage, you would put about, say if you had your lamb cubes, you would add some pork or beef fat to it. So you want to have that like 30% fat versus 30% filling that you'd have in a meatball. It helps keep the meat nice and tender and tasty. But I've just used the regular 80-20 ground lamb, and this, again, keeps it a little bit leaner. And if you need to enrich it, I mean, an egg white is always nice to help it moisten and hold together, or a little bit of milk. This way you're not adding, if you could use a whole egg if you like, but we're not going to use any breadcrumbs or anything, so we don't want to make it too loose. And when you're mixing this, you will mix it fairly well so it kind of holds together. So this was, I took a recipe, I found it in charcuterie by Michael Roman and Brian Paulson, and kind of adapted it from there. And they're calling for, this is good for 4 pounds of ground lamb, or lamb cubes rather, and they would use a pound of fat back in there, the pork fat. But I'm saying no to that. Just use the ground lamb. So a merguez is kind of a spicy Mediterranean lamb sausage. And this one, to season it, we use some crushed red pepper in it and some paprika. Or you could use a good hot paprika if you like. And also some diced, finely diced roasted peppers. Give it a little bit of character in there. So, for, say, 2 pounds of ground lamb, I would use a tablespoon and a half of salt. With sausages or things like that, you want to make sure they're seasoned. A teaspoon of sugar, a tablespoon of minced garlic, about 3/4 cup of diced roasted peppers, black pepper, maybe a teaspoon, 3/4 teaspoon. You want a tablespoon of paprika, crushed red pepper, about 1/2 teaspoon. You could heat it up a little bit more if you like. A teaspoon of dried oregano or a tablespoon of fresh chopped oregano. And then we're going to add a little 1/4 cup of dry red wine and a little bit of, well, actually less than that, about, 1/4 cup, maybe an ounce. Good shot of red wine and a little bit of water in there, or milk. And you mix this well, and what I always like to do with any mixture like this, of course, you want to taste it. And how do you, usually you take a piece and either fry it in the pan. I've done it in the microwave, just take a little tiny piece and, 10 seconds or so just to warm it up and make sure that my seasoning is right. And that's the point where you can always add something back in. And so these now, you can form them into patties, any size you like. If you want to make them into burgers, you can. I used to make the little kind of cylinders, or not really true. If you think of the kefta, the skewered meats, ground meat, and you'll see it in Greek cuisine, other Mediterranean countries. So on your skewer, you just kind of form the meat, and it kind of tapers at each end. It's like a, if you think of like a long football. So a little bit thicker in the middle. And you put them on skewers, and you just grill them to the doneness, and then they're easy enough to slide off. I would use the wooden skewers that are soaked in water. But this way you can turn them easily, and if you're doing a, say you're doing a bowl of ratatouille, it would be nice to have the lamb skewers alongside of it. And this is going to ground lamb. If you want to do speedies or lamb cubes, by all means, feel free. But the ground lamb, just like you know, other expensive meats, veal, you know, you're buying, if you're buying ground, you can do a lot with it and not have to spend, you know, break the bank on expensive cuts. Lamb chops, of course, very expensive, domestic ones. So this would make you a nice little sausage. And with mixtures like this, I do like to let them kind of cure overnight. Now, we're not putting any pink salt on there. We're not going to put any nitrates or nitrites in there. But a mixture like this, if you're making sausages or even meatloaf, best to, you know, chill it overnight. Brings the temperature right down. You can work with it easier, but it lets all the flavors kind of get through there. And you notice, you know, we're doing the roasted peppers, so there's not raw peppers going in there. But and this, again, adds a little color, flavor, and a little moisture to the mix. So you have your little patties or sausages or skewers, whatever we're doing, or your grilled leg. If I was doing a grilled leg with this, I would just, again, take off excess fat, but I would rub it with some minced garlic, some olive oil, some pepper, and let it sit overnight. I wouldn't salt it at first. I don't want to draw too much moisture. But the other seasoning, if you're using oregano or thyme, that would all go on. Put it in a freezer bag, squeeze the air out, and just let it soak up those flavors overnight. Give you a nice result. Now for a ratatouille. We need, of course, eggplant, right? Always don't forget that. And what I do is it's eggplant, zucchini. I have some peppers, some onions. And chopped tomatoes, chopped fresh tomatoes. And what we try to do with this braise is that you add things to the pot in the order that the softer vegetables you add more toward the end. So things that need longer cooking, you want your onions to be nice and soft. So we definitely get those started with some olive oil. And at this point, once the onions are cooking, add a little bit of garlic. And the first vegetable I would put in after that is some peppers and the eggplant. You want the peppers to get soft. Your eggplant, now again, I cut these small, like less than half an inch dice. And for me, the smaller the better. You can cook it a little bit quicker. It's easier to handle. It's not doesn't get too mushy. So you have to saute your eggplant, and you're going to try it. You're going to taste a piece and see now it's starting to soften up. Zucchini, of course, would go in last, or your summer squash, because that you could barely have to cook those. They're soft already. And, of course, I'm saving my tomatoes to the end, so I don't want it to be like a tomato sauce, per se. We're using diced plum tomatoes, nice ripe ones. And what we'll do is when we're sauteing and get our vegetables braising, then you can add broth, and it could be chicken broth, it could be vegetable broth, it could even be water. A little bit of liquid in there, and we like to put a couple of tablespoons of tomato paste also. So that's going to kind of thicken things, enrich them. But the tomatoes will go in last because we want to maintain their texture. Now, you could use canned tomatoes, but it would really be a shame at the end of summer to have to put canned tomatoes in. So you want to do your fresh plum tomatoes. And you'll judge by the ripeness. If they're very, very soft, of course, they're not going to need much cooking, just warming through. And you will add, a little juice will come out there, and you'll finish your braise, salt and pepper. An eggplant does need a lot of salt, so make sure you season well. And then for herbs, of course, chopped parsley, but I like basil and thyme would be the likely choices to go in there, either one or the other or both. And once your vegetables are all cooked, now this ratatouille, you can serve it warm, you can serve it room temperature. It's nice and safe, especially if you don't have any meat broth in there. So it's something you can make ahead. In fact, it is great the next day. If you wanted to get your cooking done the day before and just bring it and warm it up, then that would be fine. Then you've got a nice base for your proteins. Before you accuse me. Now, another quick one you could do, what I like with things, of course, pepperonata. If you don't have all the eggplant and zucchini, just simply that good combination of onions and garlic, peppers and tomatoes. I mean, that's a great backdrop or, you know, something if you want to put on your sandwiches. But again, braise the onions slowly. Don't brown them too much. Add your garlic, then your pepper strips, and you could use all your different colors, different heat levels. It'd be neat to have, you know, some bell peppers, maybe some couple of Italian long hots in there, maybe some frying peppers. Throw a poblano in if you like a little heat. And then your tomatoes, of course, the nice plum tomatoes. And we'll cut those into wedges and let them get some of their juice out there. And again, salt and pepper, and you've got the pepperonata is something else. Again, you could splash a little vinegar in there and make a cold relish out of it, or serve it warm or at room temperature with your proteins. We're going to break for news. We'll come back. We'll make some caponata. And I think we got to make this pizza, too. End of summer pizza. Chef Bill's Table. You're taking money from someone else.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
He says it was a case of Beijing on line one. President Trump telling reporters at the G7 summit a short time ago that Chinese trade negotiators phoned Washington to say they want to come back to the negotiating table.
China called last night our top trade people and said, let's get back to the table. So we'll be getting back to the table, and I think they want to do something. They've been hurt very badly, but they understand this is the right thing to do, and I have great respect for it. This is a very positive development for the world.
Former Illinois Congressman Joe Walsh, running against President Trump in the 2020 Republican primary as the conservative radio host, announced his campaign yesterday, saying that Trump is, quote, completely unfit to be president. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290, 800-965-1290.
live from the Chamber of Commerce here in 100 County, beautiful downtown Flemington. And the chef at Jake's here, local restaurant, been around for 28 years, and continue to serve our public. Appreciate all our patrons from the past and would welcome anybody from the future coming in. We're still there. Anyway, caponata. So it's an eggplant relish. And, of course, we had a recipe that made quite a bit of it. This could be adapted, too. You could serve it as is. Chilled is best. Have tossed it with whole wheat penne and served it warm with a little ricotta salata. That's a dried ricotta cheese, if you've never heard of that. It kind of crumbles. So it's a little bit sharp. It's not sharp like Parmesan or Romano, but, you know, milder, more like a feta, maybe. So it doesn't really melt a lot. It just adds your nice flavor to it. You could do that with this. You know, this has got a little bit of vinegar and sugar in it, so it is kind of a little bit of a pickled thing. Really works well with the feta. And whole wheat, nice and earthy. You can always, if you make a big batch, it would be, again, you could make a cold pasta salad out of it, or you could serve it warm. Either way. So we do eggplant. So I had a couple of nice eggplant. And I like to peel it for this. Eggplant skin is edible, but I like to peel the eggplant for this. So a couple of that, a cup of onions. We need diced celery for this, maybe 2 cups. And a little trick you're going to do with this, instead of sauteing it, we're going to blanch it first. We're going to boil the celery for a little bit to soften it, just enough water to cover. And when you drain it, save the water, because we're going to add this water back to the caponata as part of our moisture. Kind of save the flavor there from the celery. This mixture, because the celery I was using the other day, a little, maybe it wasn't quite mature. It was very green, very, very pretty looking, but a little firm, and cook it a little bit longer than normal. For this, we're going to use blended oil, your combination of olive oil and other vegetable oil. You don't need to use pure olive oil for this. Sometimes the extra virgin, when it gets cold, it firms up just like butter, so you don't like to do that with a cold dish. So we like a blended oil. A little bit of tomato paste is going to help with that celery water to make our liquid. Then a half cup of red wine vinegar and about a third of a cup of sugar, give or take, just to balance out the tartness of the vinegar. And then some Kalamata olives, some green olives, which you could chop or slice or just cut them in half, want a little bit better appearance. And then some capers. We like to use the little nonpareil capers, the small ones. Of course, drain those. So these are all your kind of brined ingredients going in. And a couple of cups of tomato fillets. Now, again, you could use canned with this, but you have the fresh ones here. So here we're going to have your celery blanched and saving the water. And, again, start with your onions. Cook them nice and slowly. They don't want to brown them. And then your cubed eggplant. And you can go fairly, not huge, but, you know, at least half inch or better. Maybe a little bit larger, because the eggplant's going to be the star here. So the diced eggplant, and get the eggplant fairly well cooked. You don't really want it al dente. You don't want it undercooked. You want it so it's nice and soft all the way through. Now, at this point, you add back your tomato paste. Just a couple of tablespoons, just to it kind of glazes. And when you cook tomato paste like this in the pan with the vegetables, it does change it. Even though it's already cooked, when you do this with tomato paste or with ketchup, anything like that, when you fry it again, it just adds another dimension to it. So you've got the tomato paste. Add back your water that you saved from your celery, your vinegar and sugar, and kind of mix that. Your herbs that you would use, again, parsley and basil, would be my choices. Check your seasoning, your salt and pepper. And then you will cook this till all the flavors come together. You don't mind a little bit of sauce with it. It will, as it sits, you know, the eggplant will absorb it. And then after all the cooking is done, your olives and capers can go in. And I guess remember that when you're salting it, too, you're adding some more salty ingredients. So you might want to save the final salting till the end. And it should be a fairly strong flavor because when you're serving food cold, it kind of diminishes the effect of acidity and sweetness and things like that. You know, it's a product, if you're eating leftovers right out of the fridge, doesn't really taste quite as good as they do when they're warmed up. And so this dish would normally be served chilled. You could bring it up to temperature if you like, if you know you're going to serve it all, but you can keep this cold. So you've got this eggplant relish, and you could use it kind of the same way as you're using the ratatouille, except you're serving it cold. So let's say your Labor Day party, end of the summer picnic, whatever you want to call it, if you're going to serve the caponata, it's great on its own as an antipasto. But it also, as I said, it's a nice base for proteins. Could think of it as instead of a sauce for your lamb or whatever you're cooking, this could be kind of like a salsa, right? Fold it into some pasta, as I said, whole wheat pasta, and add a little bit of that cheese, and you've got yourself a nice side dish with your eggplant and tomatoes, things from the end of the summer. The other day, speaking of end of the summer, I was, of course, we've been running corn O'Brien, we made corn chowder, another nice possibility for your table, corn or corn and lobster, corn and crab. We had lunch last Monday, my wife had some corn and lobster chowder in a restaurant. Very good. We put some bacon in ours, kind of traditional, although I've made a cream of corn, I guess you could call it, not so much a chowder, with julienne strips of ham in there. You kind of fry them up, crisp them up, and add that for a garnish, or julienne chicken breast. You can turn your corn chowder into almost a full meal. What I was, we had the corn, the tomatoes. I made a risotto the other day, and the corn O'Brien is with bacon and peppers and onions, kind of a nice side dish. We normally make a succotash in the summer, but this corn O'Brien seems to be more appealing. I guess anything with bacon, right? Go figure. So I wanted a risotto. And we have the nice diced plum tomatoes, the fresh ones. And we've had this corn O'Brien put together. And so I finished the risotto. When you're making a risotto, of course, with your arborio rice, chicken broth. But what you do if you want to make, a tomato corn risotto, you're going to take... Say you got 3 ears of corn. You're going to take the kernels off, scrape the cob to get that little bit of milk out of it. But then what we do is we boil those for a little while, maybe an hour or so. And you get this nice sweet liquid. It's corn water, right? So if I was to make a risotto, I would use some of the corn water instead of chicken broth. And, of course, again, remember to salt. And the other thing you get is you can get tomato water. Especially when your tomatoes are nice and ripe. You chop the tomatoes, put them in a strainer or even a piece of cheesecloth, and let them sit. You don't really want to press it. You're not looking for something red. That's the difference. It's going to be, somewhat clear. Looks like water, or maybe like wine, I guess. And this tomato water, when you're adding your liquid to your risotto, again, we'll put some nice flavor in there. You'll still have the pulp of the tomatoes that you could fold in afterwards. You really don't want to cook them too long, but then you've saved that liquid. Instead of it coming out at the end, you're going to use it as you're cooking the risotto. So you'll need, you've got 4 cups of liquid, either broth or a combination, your corn water, tomato water. 3 ears of corn, a couple of tablespoons of olive oil, a little minced shallot or onion, fine diced. This would be enough for a cup of arborio. You want the short grain, good arborio rice for this, because this rice is going to come out creamy rather than fluffy. You need about a third of a cup of white wine, a cup of diced tomatoes. Again, if you maybe go for about a cup and a half and let them drain a little bit, just the weight of the tomatoes, don't press them, and get your little bit of tomato water, you can add some flavor right into your rice. And again, the difference, instead of adding it at the end and making it too soupy, you will be putting this tomato water in up front. Some chiffonade fresh basil, and of course some Parmesan cheese. If you like a little butter pat to finish, that's fine. But basically, you're sautéing, you've got your corn, you're sautéing your onion or your shallot till it's soft. I didn't put any garlic into this one. And then you're going to sauté your rice to get it coated, add your wine, stir it till it evaporates, and then your broth should be simmering or warm. And you add it like a cup at a time. And you want to stir, you don't have to stir constantly, but you get the starch coming out of the rice by stirring it. That's why they tell you when you make a pilaf or you make a stovetop rice, don't lift the lid or jambalaya, anything like that. Sometimes as cooks, we like to poke and stir and make sure. But if you do that, it's going to release the starch from the rice. And if you want fluffy rice, it's not going to be fluffy. In this case, we do want the creaminess. We want that starch to come out. So slowly adding the broth. Now, the corn, depending on the ripeness, try a piece raw. How much do I want to cook it? I don't like corn cooked that much, but I'd say when you're ready for your last addition of broth is when you would put the corn in. So it's only going to cook for a few minutes. The rice should be a little bit al dente, a little bit firm in the middle. You don't want it mushy all the way through. Your final addition then would be your tomatoes folded in just to warm through. Now, you could roast the tomatoes if you like, if you want them to be a little bit more concentrated flavor. I use just regular chopped plum tomatoes, and they were delicious. So from the tomato water, you will get a little slight tinge of color with the risotto. This is why adding it up front, it's not going to be red like with tomato sauce, but it will be nice and pink. And then you have your corn in there, fold in your basil, add your Parmesan. And with mine, as I say, I used the corn O'Brien, so I had peppers and some bacon in there. I had everything in there, and it was very, very good. But nice color and beautiful flavor for end of the summer. We've got a break for a couple of messages here, and we'll be back at Chef Bill's table.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Oh, folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for modern design.
This blue thing is a really new trend. A lot of the designers are trying to introduce blue as a new cabinet color.
This is topical for you guys. This is really topical.
And the mother said, well, I'd like her room to be gray. And the little girl said, Mom, gray is the color of depression.
Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. We're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and you're listening on WHCR-DB.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you...
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Here in Flemington, New Jersey. So, Labor Day, talking a lot about cooking. I thought we were going to take the day off. It's if you talk, end of the summer, of course, fruit and cheese is always nice, and at Jake's at the restaurant, starting early in the summer, as soon as some watermelons come. Watermelon and feta salad, very simple, very refreshing. Melons, of course, right now should be great. We do it with some, we actually use the little either diced tomato or the little grape or cocktail tomatoes, small ones, cut in half, get all the nice different colors there, and a little bit of diced red onion. Red onion right now, they're nice and sweet. I like raw onion. I like cooked, I like onions any way, shape, or form. And I need to check them. In the summer, the Texas sweets, the white ones are always nice. Sometimes the red onions get a little hot, and which is fine, but just noticing now, they're nice and sweet. You can make an onion and butter sandwich if you want. But the watermelon and feta now with the sweet onion, we put a little mint in there and a little bit of arugula, the baby arugula. And that, it's not so much as a salad. It's almost kind of like a seasoning, like an herb. You want that slight pepperiness and slight bitterness to go along with the watermelon, it's, of course, tomatoes, and then we crumble some feta cheese, and the dressing is very, very simple, just really the 3-to-1 ratio of olive oil and red wine vinegar. You've got some salt and pepper in there. That's really all you need. You don't have to, you just shake it up and just anoint the salad with it. You don't need that much dressing. You've got plenty of flavor there with the watermelon and the feta. And I thought of another, of course, another salad that would work well with the end of the summer, the Greek salad. And some people do a chopped salad, but really the Greek salad, maybe at this point, you don't say, like gardens, people don't grow that much lettuce. Maybe you're tired of lettuce. Maybe you're tired of salad. The Greek salad, you don't have to worry about lettuce. It's all vegetables. Now, you can put a little bit of chopped romaine. You'll see versions that do. We used to call it a Mediterranean salad. We had all the, you know, the peppers and artichoke and peppercini, all the stuff in there. And we would use a little bit of lettuce with it. But if I was at the end of summer, I mean, you've got all the all your vegetables ready to go. You've got plum tomatoes, you've got cucumbers, the red onion, you've got green or red peppers. You can always add some Kalamata olives to this if you want. You've got the feta cheese, but all these vegetables, you want them fairly large pieces. And again, the dressing, olive oil, red wine vinegar, maybe a touch of lemon juice. If you're doing the Greek salad, of course, you would want some garlic in there, some mashed garlic in the dressing, some oregano, fresh or dried. If you use dried, you always kind of crumble it in your fingers there to release the oil. And then we add a little bit of mint to the watermelon feta, But dill or mint would work well with the Greek salad. I kind of like mint, oregano, garlic, lemon, all the good high points are there. And then they dress the vegetables, and you've got a nice crunchy side dish salad. You don't have to worry about the lettuce wilting in the heat. That's what I like about it. And I don't know if you've ever, people refer to warm salads. When I work on a farm, of course, eating vegetables out in the field, they're not cold. We're used to getting everything chilled. You eat, whether it's corn, whether it's a pepper, or anything right off the vine at that field temperature. I mean, it's, the sun's out, and it's a whole different taste. And I think with the Greek salad, if you let it come to room temperature, it doesn't have to be bracingly cold. That kind of numbs your palate and takes away some of the flavor. You've got nice, especially if you've gone to a farmer's market, of course, make sure you wash everything well. You never know, not for pesticides, but just anything else that could be on the surface there. And you make yourself a nice vegetable salad. This end of the summer pizza, and basically it's tomatoes and corn. Could have guessed that one, right? But I mean, good. I mean, we just talked about a risotto, but this pizza here. Again, people like pizza, flatbread. There's so many ways to do it nowadays. So Amy Sherber, this baker in New York City, when I first read about her, she did not have pizzas on her menu. She didn't have the space or whatever. Now she's got five outlets, five cafes, and she does offer pizza, just one kind every day, and usually it's something light like this, just with corn and tomatoes. What she does is actually roast the tomatoes. Again, you've got a pizza crust, you've got some ricotta cheese, you've got some moist product there anyway, so roasting tomatoes intensifies their flavor, and you don't get so much liquid going into the dough. So for this, and she makes it in a 12 by 17 jelly roll pan. So that reminds you of what you see now in pizzerias called the grandma's pie or grandma's pizza, grandma's pie. So it's kind of rectangular like a Sicilian pie, but not as high, as thick a crust. It's a little more crispy. The dough is very quick. What I was impressed with was this dough. Now, you can always buy fresh pizza dough frozen. You can, again, use a flatbread. But this, she calls it push-button dough. And so you need a couple of teaspoons of olive oil. A quarter cup plus one teaspoon of warm water, some water about 110 degrees, 1.5 teaspoons of dry yeast, and you process this for a few seconds just till it's mixed up in the food processor. Then 2 tablespoons of cornmeal and 2 cups of unbleached flour, even just regular all-purpose flour. That goes into the food processor, and literally it's 10 seconds, maybe another 5, so just so it comes into a dough ball. Now you take the dough ball, a floured board, you knead it for maybe half a minute or so, and then we like to put it in a bowl, cover it with the towel, a little bit of oil on top so it doesn't get a skin on it, and you let it rise for an hour, and that's really all it needs. You're not looking, you could make it ahead if you want to do an overnight rise, get that little bit of fermentation going. But really for this, this quick pizza, all you need is an hour. So you've got your tomatoes roasted. So your oven should be, running 400, I would say, 450. You don't need that super, super hot oven that you would normally associate with pizza. This is kind of more like an open-faced pie, tart, whatever you want to call it. So you're getting the dough, and you're going to stretch it out. You don't have to do this, throw it in the air, and don't use a rolling pin. just with a little bit of oil on your hands. That's what I, when I make stuffed breads, I'll do that. I'll stretch the pizza dough out with a little oil on the board. It really helps it to get that rectangle. You'll see the pizzerias, they use the flour and they toss it around and spin it in the air. But this you're trying to press into a rectangular shape. So you get the dough fitting the pan, the other about two or three tablespoons of cornmeal in the pan, and you get the dough stretched into the pan, and now you're going to let it rise, sit for maybe 15 minutes or so. If the dough springs back on you, then just let it relax again. That's the gluten working there. But anyway, you've got the dough. It's risen. You're going to top it with the tomatoes, some shucked corn, dollop a little bit of ricotta, and have some basil leaves for after it comes out. You're going to bake it 20, 25 minutes until it's done. You should get a nice thin crust. Well, not paper thin, but a nice crispy crust from the pan. We've got a dash. It's the end of the hour. We'll be back in 2 weeks live at Chef Bill's Table. And enjoy your Labor Day and happy cooking.
To do when you grow up? When we were young, it's a question we were often asked. As we get older, our passions become clearer, our pursuits become careers, and if we're diligent, we begin to plan for the life we want to live. That's why, at Ameriprise Financial, we ask what's most important to you. Starting with our confident retirement approach, your Ameriprise Financial advisor will ask questions that help you arrive at a customized plan that allows you to realize your goals today, tomorrow, and throughout retirement. With the right financial advisor, life can be brilliant. Call Michelle Heide and Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 16 Lee Street, Units 1B and 1C in Clinton, New Jersey. The confident retirement approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, a registered investment advisor.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
As the G7 summit winds down in France, host French President Emmanuel Macron says Iran's President Hassan Rouhani says he is willing to meet with any world leader, including President Trump. Macron speaking through an interpreter at a news conference with Trump at his side.
President Rouhani said that he was prepared to meet any political leader in the interest of his country.
For his part, President Trump defended his removal of the U.S. from the multinational Iranian nuclear accord, but said that the Iranian willingness to renegotiate an accord could make it better. Macron argued that a nuclear deal with Iran is better than no deal at all. On another front, President Trump says he believes China now wants to strike a new trade deal with the U.S. And this is USA Radio News.
Do you wish you could get better sleep and maybe lose a few pounds? Maybe more than a few pounds? Well, there's this product called Calitrin that helps with both sleep and weight loss. Just listen to what people are saying about it.
I've been taking Calitrim for right about 3 months, and I've lost 24 pounds and 19 overall inches. But my sleep has improved, I have so much more energy, and I have the desire to succeed more than ever. Anyone who needs weight loss, more energy, and better sleep, this product really does deliver.
Hi, I'm Roger. Over the 3 months that I took the product, my sleeping habits are increasingly much better. I got a better night's sleep, and I just can't say enough about the product and how it makes you feel. Also, additionally, lost a little bit of weight on the program as well.
Hi, this is Erickson. I take Calitrin for weight loss, and I've lost about 20 pounds, and I feel great.
Calitrin is scientifically proven to help with sleep and weight loss safely and effectively. Check it out at toploss.com. That's toploss.com.
Private investigators have now been hired by former Boston Red Sox star David Ortiz to determine why he was shot and nearly killed in the Dominican Republic back in June. A spokesman for Ortiz says he has not spoken to law enforcement in his home country since the day he was shot. Ortiz hiring former Boston Police Commissioner Ed Davis to lead the investigation. The Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department says it's determined a deputy who said he was shot by a sniper last Wednesday made up the whole story. However, a Sheriff's Department official says
Reynosa failed to provide information regarding his motivation for this act.
21-year-old Deputy Angel Reynosa admits he used a knife to rip fake bullet holes in his uniform. A criminal investigation's underway and Reynosa has already been fired. Remember, you can find us online anytime. We're at usaradio.com. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn Root, the conservative warrior. My show War Now airs every day right here on USA Radio from 6 to 9 p.m.